A wonderful rendition there of Psalm 131 from the choir of King's College. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I am your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we're going to do a little bit more Old Testament this morning. You know, every morning here, we read you a New Testament reading from something we call the Daily Lectionary. And then we study it with a pastor, right? We have somebody else call in, another pastor besides myself, before when Annie Bates, which is one pastor and Annie, but you know, at least one pastor, now two, talking about that New Testament reading that's in this lectionary. But a lectionary is there, well, it's certainly there to be used by radio stations for doing online Bible studies, but it's there for something more than that. It's there to be read by you, right? It's a daily reading list, and maybe that's what we should just call the word lectionary, is reading list. And you have the daily lectionary in your hymnal. It's not all printed there, but all the texts are there. It begins at page 299 and follows from there. It's about three pages long once it's all printed out. It's not too hard to see what's going on. There's appointed readings for every single day. And then you have some nice resources that make it even easier. The Treasury of Daily Prayer from Concordia Publishing House and the Pray Now app, which they have also made, that give you the daily Psalm, the daily Old Testament, the daily New Testament reading. And on top of that, looking at it right now, a daily writing from a church father. Today's is actually from the Epitome to the Formula of Concord. Some pretty cool stuff there. And so there's a lot of stuff there just to basically help your devotions. But that's also what we want to do here on His Time, is bring that devotion to you and make it even easier for you to have the Word of God bound around your neck, right? Like a wonderful, uplifting promise of mercy everywhere you go. So at least this morning, we're going to do a little more Old Testament. In the future, again, we'll do Proverbs, maybe do some of these writings as well. Today's Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. It's a bit long. I don't think we'll get through all of it, because I'd like to talk about it a little bit too. But we'll at least get through some of it. It's quite a famous passage. It does show up in the three-year readings in church every so often. It begins in verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul.'" Now, pausing there in the reading for just a minute, it's kind of terrifying, right? But it's also so good, because what it does is it sets us free to have confidence that people don't have to like God's word for us to keep speaking it. It's not our job to make people believe what God says, right? So you get how the setup is here. He compares it to, like, if you hire somebody to guard the city so that he'll blow a trumpet when the enemy comes, and he blows the trumpet and the city ignores him and the enemy comes and destroys them all, it's not really his fault as a watchman. But, like, imagine the watchman who doesn't blow the trumpet, and then the enemy comes. If the city were to, like, survive somehow, what are they going to do to that watchman, right? He ain't a watchman anymore, I'll tell you that. He might be dead. And then God says to the prophet, which means God says to the church, which means God says to you and me as well, but particularly to pastors, particularly to those whose job is to preach, but really to all of us whose job is to confess, don't deny Jesus before men. You'll be denied before the Father in heaven if you do, right? To all of us, he says, if I give you this word and you deny it, you make yourself one with the world. Yeah, and I will require the world at your hand. But if you have my word, you believe my word, which means you're going to confess it. You don't believe something and not talk about it. Nobody in the world believes something and doesn't talk about it. You think the Cubs fans were silent this year when they won? They cheered and sang, and they still are posting things about it. I mean, God bless them and all. Yeah, but you don't believe in something, you don't care about something and not talk about it. So if you have God's word, it's going to come out of you. And this is the challenge then in our present day, that it's going to come out of you, and there's going to be people who don't like what you say. But that's why this passage is really an encouraging passage. He basically says it's effectively not your job to make them turn. Know that there's going to be people that you warn about with the word of God in both. And when we say warn, I mean law and gospel, right? There's going to be times when you tell someone this is right and this is wrong, and they're going to ignore that. There's going to be times when you tell people Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's actually good news. And they're going to ignore that. But it's not your task to make them believe it. And yet if you were ultimately, now we all have weaknesses here, don't hear me wrong, but if you were to ultimately decide, I shall stop speaking it because the world doesn't want to hear it. Or let me spin it a different way, because it's spun this way in churches today. Let me change the message so that they will be more willing to listen. Well, if you do that, then when they don't hear and believe, it's now not just their fault. It's also yours. It is fair warning to the church body, to the congregation, to the pastor, to the Christian family, that if you do choose to stop believing in the words of God, if you do choose to change the message, to diminish the truth of the matter, to remove bits and pieces of the doctrine that you don't like, to say the Bible is unclear, we don't really know what it means, or that we have to build a bridge for the natural man, we got to tickle his flesh in order to get him to like the church first, and then we'll really give him the good stuff. I mean, if you go that route, just know, fair warning, those who don't hear because you didn't speak it, God will require it at your hand. Because you were silent in your fear and you preferred the love of men to the love of God. That's effectively what's going on. It doesn't mean go out and be a jerk and just speak doctrine into people's faces. No. It doesn't say don't reprove with gentleness or seek to build a bridge through trust and friendship so that you have people actually want to hear what you have to say. But the point is, when confronted with the choice between holding to what the Word of God clearly says and denying it, it's ever so important to the life of faith in the congregation, in the church body, in, well, your personal life, everywhere, that we don't turn from the trumpet God has given us to blow. This is why our catechism is so wonderful, too. It brings that trumpet down into the most basic level. You don't have to understand the whole book of Ezekiel and be able to exposit on it to your neighbors. But the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, these are your trumpet. They are what you can lift up to herald to the world and the family. Try it in the morning. We do it here for you, right? We're going to do it in just a few minutes again. You speak them again so that they might be heard by your children. In the congregation, you say it in the service, right? Maybe you're not paying attention. Try, right? It's some of the best stuff, right? Church body, we make it our official position. And we train pastors to preach it. But all of it really comes down to the faith of the heart, right? That needs these things, that lives from these things, that needs the trumpet to be blown. And here is where Ezekiel then, in this warning that he's given by God, you know, Ezekiel, I'm giving you a word, and part of this is, I'm giving you a word, no one's going to want to hear what he says to Ezekiel in the time he's talking, right? He's going to be rejected by a lot of people. So, you know what? It doesn't matter, he says, if they listen or if they don't listen, speak it anyway. Paul says the same thing to Timothy at the end of, I think it's 1 Timothy, might be 2nd. Speak the word. In season and out of season. That is, you know, as a farmer, you don't grow year round. You got seasons, and sometimes it's growing and sometimes it's not, but you always kind of want to use good seed. Huh? So Timothy, preacher, church, speak that good word, whether it's growing or not, whether people are flocking to your pews or whether they're driving away or whether they're nailing you to a cross. Speak it in season and out because that's where the fruit comes from. And what growth is there, that's up to God. He's going to do it. He will give the growth. We plant and we water. Yeah. And that's why, again, I take such encouragement from this text, even though it is a fair warning, right? It's law. It's don't you let go, right? Just like for Solomon to his son, hey, bind it around your heart. But it's gospel, too, to know that ultimately, who does the growth come from? It comes from the Father, who is in heaven. And then, well, that's just it. Where is the growth happening for sure? Well, it's happening right now as you listen and believe, as you remember that you're baptized into Jesus Christ your Lord, and come to him, as you hunger for more of his words, and strive to get closer to that gospel, to be built up in the theology, theosology, the theos logos, the knowledge of who God is and what he's done in Jesus for you. The seed is planted, the trumpet sounded. It's ultimately, incredibly, wonderfully good news. You're listening to the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO. This is His Time, your host Jonathan Fisk. We'll be back with New Testament reading and morning prayer of the Catechism in just a moment.